But you say to yourself, I don't believe in this doctor. I don't believe that this medication can really help me. You totally disregard the doctor and the prescription. In your mind, answer me, would you say that I have unbelief in the doctor and the prescription of the doctor? In your mind, answer that question. But say, for example, now, you are very ill, and the doctor gives you medication, and he says you have to take the medication a certain way. And you will say to yourself, oh, I can take this medication any way I want. Right, Fabian? Any way I want to take this medication. I can take this medication any way I please. Is that still unbelief? Ask yourself that question. So I'm going to give you now the title of the lesson, and I was laboring what to title it. At one point, I titled the lesson, "On Whose Terms, Yours or God?" On whose terms, yours or God? Another title that came to my mind was this, unbelief in the gospel. Unbelief in the gospel. Now, what was the inspiration for me doing this lesson today? Or the context of this lesson tonight? The context of this lesson tonight rests on the Wednesday night Bible study I will be doing with you this coming Wednesday night. This coming Wednesday night, we will be learning or discussing a lesson on the gospel of Christ for those who are members of churches. We call them the church. The gospel of Christ for the church. How do you teach somebody who already believe that they have the gospel of Christ? This is a very simple lesson. Very simple lesson. And I'm not going to keep you very long tonight at all. But it's a simple lesson and a very important lesson. So, what does unbelief in the gospel of Christ mean? We have people who don't believe in Christ. And you have people who say, oh, I believe in Christ and, you know, the Bible and God, but they don't put a commitment to him. That is unbelief, you know. But you have people, church, that goes to different churches. They might even say, I have accepted the Lord. Listen carefully. But they have not accepted the Lord on the terms, on the Lord's terms. They have accepted the Lord in their version of accepting the Lord. Would we still say that is unbelief in the gospel of Christ? So that is what we are probing tonight, Brother Webb. What is this gospel? Because the gospel of Christ is going to give you certain benefits. Once you believe in the gospel of Christ, you're going to have eternal life. Once you believe in the gospel of Christ, you're going to be a new creation, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Once you have the gospel of Christ, you're going to be redeemed, Romans 3:24. Eternal life, 1 John 5:11. Once you believe the gospel of Christ and have accepted it on God's terms, you're going to have all spiritual blessings. Once you believe in the gospel of Christ and accept the terms that God lay out, you're going to have forgiveness of sins. Once you believe in the gospel of Christ, you're going to have all inheritance, Ephesians chapter 1:11. Once you believe in the gospel of Christ, you're going to be sanctified, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. But if you don't believe in the gospel of Christ, whether you are the churched or the unchurched, then you are dead in your sins. You're not in a great area. Once you don't believe in the gospel of Christ, you are dead in your sins. If you say, I go to church, and you believe in certain other doctrine apart from the gospel of Christ, that means you believe in a distorted gospel, you must ask yourself the question, have you really believed? No, don't forget the situation with the doctor. You are sick. You go to the doctor. The doctor says to you, Brother Gilbert, you need to take this medication 3 times a day. And I said to myself, you know, I want to get better quickly. I can take this medication 7 times a day. Have I truly believed the doctor? Those are things that we have to ask ourselves, you know. Is that a form of unbelief? And if that is a form of unbelief, are you going to get the benefits that the gospel of Christ presents? Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 1. We're going to be reading verse 16 and 17. In verse 16, the Apostle Paul says, for I am not what? Ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Everybody turn your Bibles to it. For it, the gospel of Christ, is the power of God unto what?
Salvation.
To everyone that what?
Believe.
Isn't that where we are at now, Fabian? So if you don't believe, you are not going to get that power of God unto salvation. Am I correct, Vivine? Yes. And if you have a distorted belief, then you don't really believe either. Yeah. So you won't get the salvation. And it's just one gospel we have. We know how many gospels, you know. For he says, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth.
Yeah.
To the Jew first and also to the Greek. Watch this now. For therein, in that gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. That's very important. Because, Brother Peart, it's not in ourselves enough that we get the righteousness from. Am I right, church? It's not the good deeds that we do that we get the righteousness from. It's not because we attend a church how many times for the year that we get the righteousness from. The righteousness is revealed from faith to faith. And it goes on to say in the scripture, in verse 17, as it is what? Written. Pay attention now. As it is written, the just shall live by their opinion. Did it say that, Brother O'Shane?
Nope.
The just shall live by their feelings. Did it say that?
No.
The just shall live by the doctrine of the church that they go to. Did it say that?
No.
What did it say, Brother O'Shane Coyne? Read that little part loud and clear. The church can hear you.
As it is written, the just shall live by faith.
The just shall live by faith. All of this is revealed by God's word. That is what you're going to live by. The just shall live by faith. And that means that they are justified in God's sight. Those are the people who are living by faith. You know. What is the result of this passage? The passage suggests to us that it is the undiluted gospel. Am I right, Fabian? That carries that power of God. Am I right? Yes. That gospel that carries the power of God is not mixed up with the doctrine of man. Am I right what I was saying? No. The doctrine of man and the doctrine of a church, once this mixed up with the gospel, then that kind of gospel is not the one that is the power of God. That type of gospel will not get you the atonement. the propitiation, the reconciliation. He cannot give it because it's just the one gospel that God. So if the distorted gospel, no matter how minute the distortion takes, listen carefully, no matter how minute, because you might say to me, you know, Brother Pierce, that this doesn't matter. Right, Sister Mavis? You might say to me, Brother Gilbert, you're talking about baptism. That is not matter. It is not water salvation. You're talking about the name of the church. That doesn't matter. That's so minute. No matter how minute your opinion varies from the scripture, it means that you have not believed. You have not believed. And if you have not believed, you are not able to tap into the grace of Christ, the gospel of Christ. You're not able to tap into it. And because of that, no, you cannot achieve the salvation. Everybody following me? Follow me, everybody? Yes. So, note, you know, it's not your righteousness, you know, that determines what you achieve. It is not your good deeds that determine what you achieve. It's not because you don't kill and steal that determine what you achieve. What you achieve spiritually is all anchored in your belief in the gospel. Am I right, sister? Yes. It's all anchored in your belief in the gospel. What do you believe in the gospel? And once you believe, if you don't believe the gospel, or if you believe a mixed up gospel, then you cannot get the reconciliation. It is not possible. Wednesday night, you're going to see how that is going to be developed in the Wednesday night Bible study. I'm working on it. And I think O'Neill is going to, I'm going to be asking O'Neill to print off some for me for Wednesday night Bible study. We'll be going through a lesson with it. So you can teach those who are the church. There is no reconciliation that is possible. You will not have any benefits of the propitiation. None at all. None. Because that what you believe is not going to put you in Christ. And it's only when you are in Christ, you're going to get certain benefits. Remember, I read it off a while ago for you. Know, in Christ, you're a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. In Christ, you have eternal life. 1 John 5:11. In Christ, you have redemption. Romans 3:24. In Christ, you have all spiritual blessings. Ephesians 1:3. In Christ, you have forgiveness of sins. Ephesians 1:7. In Christ, you have that inheritance. Ephesians 1:11. In Christ, you have sanctification. 1 Corinthians 1:2. I'm going to say to the people, Madam, sir, are you going to risk your spiritual destiny by not believing the gospel as it is written, as it is revealed in the scripture? Because if you take that risk, you will not get these benefits. If you take that risk with your spiritual life, because you will not get those benefits that you are to get, there'll be no redemption for it, no atonement, no propitiation. Look at Galatians 1, verse 6 through to verse 7. In verse 6, Paul says, I marvel, listen carefully now, that you are so soon removed. But you know what I want to stress there, Oshin? He says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ. That's the true gospel, you know, where God does the what? The calling. And he calls you into something. He calls you from death, spiritual death, and he calls you into the grace of Christ. That's where he calls you. So Paul said, I am shocked that you're moving away from that to another gospel, which is not another. When you're teaching somebody now, you ask them certain questions. You ask them, for those people that Paul was talking to, Brother Peard, did they truly believe? Did they believe in the first place? Because they have now removed themselves from what God called them. Is God called them, you know? And God called us through the gospel. Am I right? Yes. He calls us through the gospel, but you move yourself away from that because you want your own thing. So you still want to say, Christ, 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 you want your own thing. And you move to something else, which is not another. But there be some that what? Trouble you. And what would they do with the gospel, Brother O'Shea? Read that last part for me.
And would pervert the gospel of Christ.
No, it's not a Wednesday Bible study, but I would ask what the word pervert means. It's not a very good word. Am I right, Fabian? Just, if you don't know what it means, just know for now, it's not a very good word. It means you're changing the nature of something. It's like you're disfiguring something that is beautiful. Somebody gave you a beautiful painting, Sister Andrea, and you just mash it up. You pervert it. God give us something that will, God give us the gospel through his son, Jesus Christ, so that we can be saved. But mankind doesn't want, is not satisfied with that. He wants his own thing. And if he wants his own thing, that shows he does not believe. He could go to church every day and hug up the Bible tight under his arm and go there 7 days a week. Once he's teaching something different, it's not the gospel. And if you don't have the gospel, you can't have the reconciliation. No, you can't have it. A distorted gospel. For those of you who are writing down, write this one down. A distorted gospel cannot put you in Christ. A distorted gospel cannot. It doesn't have the capability, Sister Walters, to put somebody in Christ. Distorted gospel cannot do it. And remember, you know, I say it more than once. If it can't put you in Christ, and you must repeat these things to people you're teaching. If it can't put you in Christ, it means you are not a new creation. It means you don't have eternal life. It means that you are not redeemed. It means that you don't have any spiritual blessings. It means that your sins are still on you. There's no forgiveness. It means that you don't have any inheritance. It means that you are not sanctified because you're not in Christ. Because you believe something different. That means once you believe something different, you don't believe what God gives you. It's as simple as that. It's as simple as that. You will not be made alive when you obey a distorted, perverted gospel. You cannot be made alive. Ephesians 2, verse 1 through to verse 2. And you had he what? Quickened. What do the word quickened mean? Made alive. Paul is talking to the people in Ephesus. And he says, and you had he quickened. Who were what? Dead. You are dead in trespasses and sins. So before somebody obey the gospel, listen carefully now. Before somebody believe and obey the gospel, they are dead. What are they dead in? Trespasses and sins. Because they have not believed the gospel. They have not obeyed the gospel. But what are they doing then? Wherein in time past, you walk according to the course of this world. Those are the people who are the unchurched, you know. They are walking according to the course of the world. What they want, what their ambitions are, things that they really want. They walk according to that. They're not walking according to the word. But they're walking according to the course of this world. But there is another category now. It says, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. The prince of the power of the air is Satan. And Satan is the greatest counterfeiter that you could ever have. He is a great deceiver. Am I right? Yes. And he has certain power that brings about what Satan brings about. Look at that verse again for me now. Read it for me, Oshane. The same verse 2 of Ephesians two. Chapter 2.
Wherein, in time past, ye walked according to the course of this world,
mm-hmm.
according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience.
Stop right here, sir. So the Satan now, when you are following Satan, church, he has a spirit that carries out a particular work. And this work is carried out in the children of what? Disobedience. Who are these children of disobedience? People say to you, Mr. Gilbert, the children got taught to spread the gospel to the man there at the rum bar. Go spread the gospel to the man there at the who killed somebody or steal something. He is definitely the children of disobedience. But remember, Satan is the king of counterfeit. So although you are sending me to talk to those people there, you must also consider yourself, sir or madam, have you also obeyed the gospel of Christ? Because you are telling me that those people over there are children of disobedience, but you also are children of disobedience. You know why you are children of disobedience? Disobedience in essence, Brother Bean, in essence, disobedience is really unbelief. It comes down to unbelief. If you don't believe in a guy, obey. Am I correct? If you don't believe in a guy, obey. So it is in essence an unbelief, a spirit of unbelief. And when you have that spirit, Brother Peart, it is a rebellion against God. It's an active rebellion. No matter how you tell yourself you're nice, you go to this church every day, you can't find the name of the church in the Bible, the teaching and the doctrines are nowhere to be found there in the scripture, they don't teach that baptism have nothing to do with your salvation. So once you believe in those things, you don't, that means you didn't believe what God tell you. This unbelief that you have, it abuses truth. And it's not only in the spiritual world we are seeing it, you know. We see it every day on the TV when we look at America. Just look at what is the politics of America and the social. So when I turn on the TV and the radio and see what's happening in America, I say, do people really believe that? Some way out things they believe in us in. Some way out things that they believe. They believe that they can call themselves, a man can call himself a woman, a man can call himself an animal. They believe all kind of weird things, you know, and people believe it strongly. Gosh! So unbelief now, what unbelief does, you know, it abuses the truth through deception and self-deception. Let's be very careful. It abuses the truth through deception and self-deception. The hardest person to reach for Christ, Brother Peart, is a person who goes to church regularly, goes to your denomination. Because they have deceived themselves. So you have to bring the passages. We're going to look at that Wednesday night. Don't miss Wednesday night Bible study. We're going to bring the passage to show you how can you show these people in a simple way that they are being deceived. That kind of unbelief twists God's truth away from God's purpose. Listen carefully. When God put his truth, you know, God has a purpose, you know, Vivian, God has a purpose. When he give us the Bible and he give us Christ and he give us the gospel, he has a purpose. So when you twist it, you are not fulfilling God's purpose for your life. You can't get the blessing. You can't go inside Christ. You can't go in Christ. Because you have twisted it away from God's purpose and towards your own purpose. That's why Paul said in the Bible, we're going to look at those things at the next time, that he's so sorry for the, and he prayed for the children of Israel, because he says that they what? They have a what? Zeal of God. That sometimes that zeal is what mixes us up, you know. That zeal, we believe, so, oh God, because I have the zeal, so what? He's so sincere, because I have zeal. The zeal don't mean you believe. The zeal don't mean you have true belief. Because they have a zeal, but not according to what? Knowledge, and then it throw them away from God's righteousness to their own what? Righteousness. This unbelief, despite you claiming that you belong to Christ, this unbelief in the teachings of Christ, and you fool yourself a lot of time because you're saying to yourself, doctrine doesn't matter. That's why the biggest falsehood, you know, doctrine doesn't matter. That's what they say, you know, doctrine doesn't matter. Only just trust Christ, trust Christ. Because they claim that they belong to Christ, but they don't believe. They don't believe. And if you don't believe, you cannot get the reconciliation. Can't get it. Let's look at two simple questions that you can ask the convert that you are teaching. Two simple questions. If you are baptized in the way the Bible says, could you be wrong? If you are baptized the way the Bible says, could you be wrong? You're going to answer either yes or no. You get that out there. If you're baptized the way the Bible says, could you be wrong? No. That's just why no. If you are not baptized, if you are not baptized the way the Bible says, could you be wrong? That is going to cause them to think. Now we're looking at that away tonight. So if you are baptized the way the Bible says, could you be wrong? More likely they're going to say no. But this other question, okay, kind of stop the relic. If you are not baptized the way the Bible says, could you be wrong? That is where now they're going to have a little challenge with them. Yes or no? Because no. It's obviously no. But they're going to try to find some way around it because they don't believe in the baptism. Are you seeing me? They do not believe, Brother Pierre. If you don't believe, even although you are going to a church, you still have a spirit of unbelief. The same way the alien sinner has it. You're alien sinner as well. Am I right, Fabian? You're alien sinner too, you know. Because it's just that the difference with you is that you go to church. In fact, some people may consider you a worst case. And in Wednesday night, I may ask you why you may be considered to be a worst case. Because you have deceived yourself and tell yourself you are already saved. Follow me? In the Church of Christ, we have a lot of work to do. For sin. We have a lot of work to do. But sometimes we are also, how must I put it now? Give me the word, Fabian. No, not challenged. We are also influenced by their niceness. It's not influenced. Look, I'm looking for another word. But we go to the workplace and we see them and they are so zealous. They are more excited about the Bible than we are. But they are in fast doctrine, you know. But we are, it's like we tell ourselves, you know, they must be right. We don't come and say it like that, but it's like we can't see them as unbelieving. Yeah, sorry? Yes. We can't see, we can't picture them as a kind of unbelief. Are you following me? Because we are so taken up with their good deeds. They're nice people. Nice, kind people. Help the poor. Next week now, I might go to some case studies to show you and ask a question in the Bible. I'm going to follow this up with a lesson next week, Sunday night, Fabian. Just to show in the Bible that you had some very nice people, religious people, who needed the gospel of Christ. Just to see him. Just to see him, they were worshiping God, but they still needed the gospel of Christ. Just to see him. So, what was this lesson all about? I'm going to summarize now. On whose terms? Yours or God? You can't dictate the terms of it. And the gospel of Christ, how do you know that you have belief in the gospel of Christ? Or how do you know that you are showing unbelief in the gospel of Christ? The gospel of Christ is the power of God unto what? Salvation. It is the gospel of Christ. And the gospel of Christ reveals the righteousness of God, the gospel of Christ. Nothing else. It reveals it from faith to faith. It is written, the just shall live by faith. We are justified now by this gospel. Now, we have unbelief. We show unbelief by we say, okay, a man live by the name of Jesus Christ. I'm going to do my one thing. I'm going to live my one life. So you don't believe. So we call you unbeliever. Follow me? But you also have people who have accepted Christ. But they have accepted Christ in a distorted gospel. They are also unbeliever. Yes. That is the essence of this lesson.